Good evening. This is Betty Bronner. I'm recording for Jewish Community Center Family History Project. It's October the 30th, 1991, and I have the pleasure of presenting tonight Dolores Levy. Dolores, would you give us your name, your address, and if you care to, your phone number?
Okay, this is Dolores Shaken Levy. We live at 2536 Broadmead, and our phone number is 452-1263. I guess I should start first. We will go to parents, and I will talk about my father first. My father came from Trokai. I think you spell it T-R-O-K-I. It was more or less a resort around 30 miles from Vilna. My father's parents must have been medium class Jews. They had a store in Trokai, and they were well to do enough that they had a teacher to come and live in their home to tutor them and to be sure that they were educated as to the needs of the day. My father was one of several children that several of them lived in Louisville, Kentucky. It was Louis Shaken, Abe Shaken, Rose Platoff, Helen Krenitz.
How do you spell that?
K-R-E-N-I-T-Z.
Thank you.
And there was a sister in Trenton, New Jersey, named Gussie Levine, L-E-V-I-N-E. And they did leave one sister in Europe, which perished in the Holocaust with her family, which was a husband and two children. My father came to the States shortly after his bar mitzvah. Let me go back just a little bit to tell you some. It's sort of interesting with my dad. It seems like so many people of his day. They seem to be very uncomfortable talking about their European life. It's true he left there very early at 14, but it seemed it made them very uncomfortable to tell you too much of their home life. Like I said before, I knew they had a tutor in the home, and I think they lived very comfortably. But on the other hand, I heard in recent years, when an aunt went back there, that my father lived in sort of a seaside. It was a resort where the king or whatever they had it, the ruling, that's where they went for their holidays. And these were kind of things that I'd always heard that Vilna was the center for religion, and it was very important. My dad even talked of, when they used the word Vilna, it was a very important center for learning. And I think we were taught from a very young age that learning was such an important part of life. It was just second there. It was just part of life. It wasn't just another, like in the United States, you go to school, but learning was actually a part of your life. So anyhow, my dad, after his bar mitzvah, I think his parents, I'm sure, their name was Samuel and Drazel. And I am named after my paternal grandmother. And they were just as human as we are, maybe more so. They were very unselfish. And they sent Dad away, as so many young fellows especially were sent away so they wouldn't have to go to the army. And they sent him to the United States. They sneaked him out, the usual story you hear, through friends, through non-Jewish friends, and across the line until they got to the ship and came over.
But do you know where he embarked, from where he embarked on that ship?
I don't know exactly. I do know he ended up getting to England before he actually left the European part of the world. Then my father landed. he landed in Ellis Island, and he went direct to Milwaukee because there was an older aunt there, and so he went there where the only relative that really was he knew, and he stayed there with her for 2 or 3 years, is the way I remember. And he sold newspapers to make a little money. In the meantime, he had 2 brothers in Louisville already, but they were very young, with their young families, and they really weren't able to finance him. So after he made a little money in Milwaukee, he came on down to Louisville, and he stayed with his brother, Louis. And his brother Louis was already married and had started his family. So like I said, money was short, so my dad sold newspapers again here in town so that he could give as much money to his brother that he could, you know, so he could help keep up the expenses of the household. In the meantime, he decided he better learn something more than selling newspapers because you couldn't make a living. So they decided to make a tailor out of it. Well, my dad really was not a tailor, and it was going to be a very hard way for him to make a living. Well, as things went in those days, a friend of his came by and says, well, I want to open up a business down in the country about 85 miles down the road. And in those days, it was an all-day trip. And he didn't have, he needed daddy for himself more than money. But my dad, in the meantime, had saved $200. So with his $200, he went down and went in business with a man named Friedman. And they stayed in this, really a one-room store, probably 20 but 20, a very small little country store. And there just really wasn't enough money or enough sales for two men to make a living, two young fellas. And I must say one little story. And I every time I start to tell the stories, I think everyone that lived in these small towns can tell you similar stories. But since there wasn't anything else for daddy to do, well, first, what did my father live on? Remember, he came from a kosher home and didn't know anything else. He lived on sardines. Well, sardines got very tiresome, very. But he really, and then he would come to Louisville to do the buying for the store and eat a good meal probably about once a month. And as I said, it took an all-day train trip to come into Louisville, and he would stay overnight and take his merchandise back home with him. But, and on Sunday when he didn't go to Louisville, what did he do for entertainment? He sang in the church choir. Now this was this very religious, brought up young fella, and even he himself felt very strong and deeply religious. But what else was it to do on a Sunday afternoon but sing in the choir? And naturally they would have all day dinners and so forth. So that was his entertainment. And I might stop here and bring up my mother's early history, and then we'll go into their marriage. My mother's father came from a family, both father and mother. Her father's name was Alec Lerner, and her mother's name was Esther Myers. They had come from further down into White Russia. And, of course, being my grandfather's name was Lerner, that's what it meant. His people had actually come from, were learning type of people, and they had studied the Torah. But there wasn't much place in the United States for just a learner only. Now, I would say that my mother's family had come from a larger city in Russia. They had been used to things very nicely. In fact, they had even had hired people in their home. And when they came to this country, and they couldn't live that way. In fact, my mother actually was born in Castle Gardens, which if it's down around, in those days it was called 7th and Cedar, and it's 7th and, which right where the government building is today. And Castle Gardens was still a nicer place than some people lived. Remember, my mother was born in 1899, but this was the way people lived. But her mother and her mother's sister, they had a very, very difficult time. In fact, the mother's sister absolutely took her own life. She could not stand to live this kind of life. It was so different than she had lived in York. In fact, I must make another little story of Castle Gardens. And probably there have been many stories told about that, I guess we would call it, apartment complex. The Resineers lived in one apartment also. And my mother was supposedly the smart one around that neighborhood. And she had won this very big contest because of her intelligence. And they gave her a part payment on a piano, or a piano with partially paid for. Well, my mother's family could not afford it. So she gave her part to the Resineers, and they bought the piano. And that was a story that was always told to us, and that's how those people lived very close, and they would help each other. Well, when my mother was getting ready to go into high school, her mother became very ill, and she had to stay home and take care of her. Probably around 1918, she and my father met at a used coat store down on 7th Street. My father used to come in on Sunday morning to do his buying. And by chance, this was Aunt Dina and Uncle Abe Lerner, which was my grandfather's brother and his wife's store. And my father would come in and buy his used men's suit coats. This was a big item in those days. And Daddy came to buy them from Aunt Dina. And interesting enough, when I say Aunt Dina, I meant that. The woman ran the store. And then after Daddy bought the coats, there wasn't anyone there that knew how to write English. So they had to call my mother. They called her and said, "Sis," which everyone in Louisville called my mother, "Sis, come down and write the address on the box for this man that's bought all these suit coats." And my mother came down to write the address, and she wrote very nicely. And my father says, "I found me a nice young lady, and she can write nice English, too." So they had a courtship of about 3 to 4 months, because it was very difficult for Dad to come back and forth from Greensburg, Kentucky, where he had moved his little bit of merchandise in the wagon and horse from this one room. He moved into the small town, so he had improved himself already. And so after 3 or 4 months of a courtship, like I said, it is too far to come back and forth, he proposed to my mother, and they planned their wedding day. And they were married in the beer gardens. I think it was on Market Street. Someone else can give you more information on that. But it was a popular place that a lot of the couples in that day and time, they got married there, or they had parties. So mother and daddy were married, and they went back to Greensburg to live. Right after their wedding, my mother's mother did pass away, which left my grandfather and the younger children, which was Dave and Dora, rather a hardship on my grandfather. One brother had already moved to Columbus, Ohio. That's my mother's brother. So mother and daddy started their little home in Greensburg. And they were married about a year, and the first daughter came, which was Dina, Dina's my oldest sister, and she is now 73 and lives in Shalom Tower in Louisville, Kentucky. After a few, after about 3 years, another brother came, which is Lester. Lester's my older brother, and following 18 months after that, Elizabeth. 4 years later, Dolores, that's me, came to, I'm going to have to backtrack a little bit. After the three children came, and as I had said, my folks were quite religious, especially my father. They says, we'll have to pack up our children, move to Louisville so they can have a Jewish education and Jewish socializing. So they moved to Louisville, and in those few years, my dad had saved a little money, and he bought a building on around 7th and Market. And he opened up a shoe store. Well, and they also bought a home out on Whittier in Strathmore Gardens. So that meant my dad had done quite well out in the country, and therefore he had brought his young family to Louisville to live. We were affiliated with Knesset Israel in those days. My father was on the mortgages and so forth because he believed in a synagogue and very strongly. So then after they were here shortly, I came along and while we still lived on Whittier. Then something else followed me. I was born in 27, June the 2nd. Then the Depression followed me in 1929. And things were bad. Things were bad, and it hit the little small man like my father in his retail shoe store. Things were getting to be so bad, my father was wondering which way would he turn next. At that point, a group from Greensburg had heard my dad was having a hard time in Louisville making a living. So they decided they would make a trip to Louisville to see Daddy. They came, they says, Ed, we are giving up our building because which was a bank, we have built a new bank building. You come on back to Greensburg and we will set you up in business, which they did. So my father packed, at this point there were his wife and four children, and moved back to Greensburg where he felt like he at least could feed his children, and then he would try to give them as much Judaism with the help of my mother at home, in our home. So we moved back, and really, I think we lived a good life in Greensboro. We were very much a part of the community. My dad was always on the city board. He was always very, very active in the Masonic Lodge. My mother was a grand matron, or whatever the highest seat in the Eastern Star. She was active in the PTA, in the women's club, or whatever else was going on in this small town. I might say to this day, we have many, many ties to Greensburg, and they haven't forgotten us, and we feel very close to the people there. I might say, I keep talking about Greensburg, and you people that have always lived in Louisville, and you remember it when it was smaller, say 75 to 100,000, it was a smaller place. Greensburg was 1,500, or maybe a few less. When the Shagans left, it made it fewer because there were eight of us. But it was a small town. I mean, it was a very active town. In those days, those small towns were active, though, and they depended on their... They did depend on their retailers, the people on the square. They were very important to them. And by chance, the Shagan family had made a mark and left a mark. My parents made us walk a straight and narrow, and we had to set an example. I think today psychologists and psychiatrists feel like maybe it's not a good thing. But we were told we had to do certain things because we were Jews and we represented the Jewish people in this community. And my father lived up to that. When any man came to Greensburg to do business, if they weren't straight, he says, "You get out of here. We don't have these kind of people in Greensburg." And this happened once or twice, even that I remember. It was a man that came and he was selling watches, supposedly good watches, and they were junk. And my father says, "You get out of here and get out of here fast. We don't have these people." He did not want but one person to ruin what he, the reputation that he had made through the years. In the meantime, Sandra was born. She's 5 years younger than I am. And then the caboose, Arnold. Arnold came last, and he's about 4 years younger than Sandra. I had a very good family life. I think that's why I brought in all my brothers and sisters, and because we were and we are very important to each other to this day. So then my folks stayed in Greensburg and brought up all of us until about 33 years ago. I guess my father had promised my mother all through the years, when we are able, we'll move back to Louisville. So it was around 33 years ago, they moved back to Louisville and built a lovely retirement home and lived a very good life in Louisville, where they could become active again in the synagogue and at the center and be with Jewish people more again. My father lived around 10 years after they were here and had a wonderful life. And then my mother passed away around 19 years ago. Now we'll go to my husband and myself. I must, as I told you, we always believed in Jewish education in my home, in my parents' home. Well, when it came to education, secular, this was also just as important. They believed in educating all of us. So when it came my turn, I went to the University of Kentucky. And that is where I met the Isidore Levy family. Their daughter was in school with me. We had a nice group of girls in those days. When we were in college, the Jewish people sort of stuck together. First of all, you were affiliated with Jewish organizations because you weren't accepted or overly accepted into non-Jewish organizations. And when I say, I should say maybe fraternities and sororities, the YWCA was both, because at one time we even had a Jewish president on campus. But that was public. Otherwise, we had to depend on Hillel and Jewish things generally. So Anita's family, Anita is now my sister-in-law, and she and I were very friendly with probably around 20 other girls. When I went to the University of Kentucky, there were only 2,200 students in 1945. So we almost knew, everyone knew each other. So being that Anita was a Lexington girl, I naturally started going to her home to eat good. And my mother-in-law was a wonderful person, and she used to make wonderful meals and invite us from the dormitory. And she and Dad Levy's, they were very hospitable. Their doors were always open. So after, in my first year, Raymond came home from the Navy. And he was a nice young Jewish fella. So we did date off and on till we were engaged in 1949. In our engagement, like I said, we had a little, I'm getting a little mixed up. We had a little rocky courtship, and then right after we graduated, Raymond did come down with polio, and that was, we were an off time for us. But when I heard he had polio, I decided, well, I guess I better go to Lexington to see him, because we were still friends. Well, that started our friendship again. And Anita, in the meantime, Anita and I went to Chicago to get a job, and we were still very close friends. And then I did not care for Chicago. It wasn't for me. So in Thanksgiving 1949, I came back home. And that is when Raymond and I started dating very much so, and we became engaged in December. One weekend while I was visiting the Levies in January of 50, I became quite ill, and Mom Levy, she says, I have to take you to the doctor. You can't stay around here sick like that. So I did let her take me to the doctor, and because truthfully, we had a wonderful relationship, a little bit more than the typical in-laws. Well, we found out I had tuberculosis. So we had to put off our wedding plans. We planned to get married in that March, and we put them off till I got out of the sanatorium, which was 18 months later. And we were married November the 4th, 1951. And we had a large wedding at Knesset Israel. And of course, all the Shakens were there, all my cousins and aunts and uncles, and also all the Levies and the cousins and aunts and uncles. And they were very pleased for us, since I had been very sick. So then, after a lovely wedding, which in those days as well as today, we had large weddings, and everything was very important. The food was important. The bridesmaids' dresses were important. It hasn't changed that much in that respect, believe it or not. Then Raymond and I went back to our apartment that we had already furnished. And on Clay Avenue in Lexington. We lived on Clay Avenue for about 2.5 years. Then we bought a home out on Della Drive, which is south end of Lexington. And we lived there about 2 years. And during that time, I was semi-retired, and I would help my sister and brother-in-law. They had moved to Lexington and opened a children's shop in Southland. And Raymond was with his father in the poultry business. Well, we definitely realized that the poultry business wasn't going anyplace. It definitely was changing. There wasn't room for the middleman like Dad Levy was. Frozen chicken had come in, and live poultry was out. It just was, you just couldn't depend on live turkeys and chickens. It was another, a different world now. So Rain decided he would try real estate in Louisville, and so he came to Louisville and went and started working for Uncle Nat Levy. And he stayed with the Nat Levy Realty Company for about 25 years. I think 24 to be exact. We moved to Louisville on April the 1st, 19, experienced a trip of this type. So now we'll go back. We moved on Talisman Road with our two little boys, and we started becoming quite active at the Jewish Community Center, because our boys had to play every sport there was and be there every time another league was organized. Then around 9 years later, We came up with a new little fella. This was Ira Richard. Ira Richard is named for both his paternal grandmother and grandfather, Isidore and Rebecca. So then, at this point, we have a baby and a 9 and 11-year-old. Well, we're starting to think bar mitzvahs now. So we decide we have to look for a place closer to the synagogue, closer to where they'll be learning, where they can go easier and often. So we found a place down close to Addis to Sharon. And we moved there. This was our third move, but that's the way it is. And it's true, our boys and Raymond and I, when the doors opened at the synagogue, we were there. We believed that we had to set the example. We did take them often. We took them on Shabbos. And we felt like if we wanted them to feel Jewish and be Jewish, then you had to show them. So we brought them up in after Sharon. And each one of them had their own bar mitzvah and their own parties. We had parties in those days also. But we really did have them. They were trained. They were able to do the entire service for their bar mitzvah. They had earned their fountain pen, in my opinion. As time has gone on and our children have grown up, we gave up our home and we moved into an apartment on Broadmead, which is all still very close in the same neighborhood because we liked that neighborhood. Now, and I must say that our kids have always been in leagues until this day. They're still very active at the center. They still say, Mom, we're playing tonight. You all better come. And we don't miss too many of their games to this day. The two older ones have married. One has, Michael, been the younger, but he has been married for 10 years to Sue Daniels from Dayton, Ohio. And Dale was married 5 years ago to Sheila Sebold of Louisville. Sue and Michael now have a 3-year-old, our grandson, named Jacob Edward. Yeah. To summarize my interview, I hope I have left just a few little words to my children and their children and their children, that they will know how our family started in this country, or how my side of the family started in this country. I hope that they will always have the strong feelings and values that we were taught in my parents' home. I hope my children were taught high values in our home, and that they will follow through and teach their children. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dolores. We really appreciate your sharing your recollections and your time with us. Thank you.